fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why? Why can't I? If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I?
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. The wife of my friend Ted Brewer died Wednesday. Sharon Brewer. Her funeral is today, and today's show is dedicated to the memory of his lovely wife, Sharon Brewer. Sharon and her husband had been at my kitchen table in Davisville on two different occasions. I was her house guest a couple of years ago. Lovely lady. And I'll be in touch with Ted. I'll give him about a week to kind of catch his breath, and I'll be in touch with Ted. So I know what Ted's going through because I went through it myself 3 years ago. About the hardest thing a human being can do is to have their spouse die on them. I don't know the circumstances. I don't really need to know. But today's show is dedicated to the memory of Sharon Brewer. With that, we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip of the day is to evaluate the security of your home. That means lights, locks, alarms, and insurance. Lights, locks, alarms, and insurance. Not here in the country, it means a trusted neighbor that will keep watch over your place as well. We have patiently in agreement with my friend Tom Burial. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with electronics, ham radio, emergency survival communications, and we're going to be focusing on that this first hour. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. Sorry to hear about your friend's wife.
Well, it's a tragic event. Sharon always gave me the impression of being the epitome of health and well-being. I don't know the circumstances. I'll probably find out in a week or so. Life goes on, but this show is dedicated
it
to the
does,
memory.
It does, John, but you know, we Sharon always brought. Have to remember there's no guarantee of tomorrow, so make the best of every day.
Roger that. Well, Tom, we have new listeners every week. People who barely know who I am, don't have a clue who Tom Burial is, and they really don't know much, if anything, at all about ham radio, except that their great uncle had a bedroom, used as a ham shack that had knotty pine paneling and smelled like Prince Albert pipe tobacco, and they had that childhood memory, and not much else knowledge about ham radio, do they?
No, not too much, John. I was hoping maybe Julie could turn up your volume just a little bit. I can barely hear you. But yeah, the ham radio in the old days was quite different than it is today. The equipment is much more modern, and it's easier than ever to get started in ham radio because the technical requirements have been greatly relaxed. Much, much relaxed, and it's a little bit of studying. 2 or 3 weeks, I think anybody could probably pass that test and get their license and call sign and be on the air. So the old days, the equipment was large, had numerous adjustments that had to be made, big tube-type transmitters, and the FCC had to be certain that you had the knowledge to make those adjustments. And that's why the technical requirements were a lot higher, but not needed anymore. Most of this equipment is plug and play. Plug it in, fire it up. None of those adjustments have to be made to the extent they did in the old days. So it's a lot of fun. You can meet a lot of new people from all walks of life.
Absolutely, you can. Absolutely. And we have a favorite website. That's the ARRL, that's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima .org website. The place. It is the one and the only best place to get started to understand what ham radio is, where to get the study material. Tremendous resources there. For example, you can locate the ham club or clubs plural nearest to where you live. You can get your hands on study material. It's really one-stop shopping to get a quick start, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it really is. The Ham Club is a good way to start. Meet a lot of interesting people there, like-minded, and they'll help you along the way. They'll help you get your station put together and how to make all the adjustments to the antennas, things like that. It's just a wealth of knowledge that's at every meeting, so it's could be an enjoyable time for everybody. And you'll the people you'll meet are, I guarantee you're going to be pretty interesting.
Absolutely. Well, they come from all walks of life. Ham radio operators range from plumbers, electricians, and carpenters to European and other foreign royalty, don't they?
Yes, that's very true. And if you look up famous ham radio operators, you can find several websites that list many of the famous hams over the decades. And it even surprised me a little bit that there's quite a few names that you'll recognize. And it's pretty interesting just reading that list.
It is. I'm going to pull that list up here for us, and because that's something we've never discussed in any real detail. It's an interesting thing. The Sultan of Oman, the King of Morocco, German Space Agency astronaut, King Carlos of Spain, and the brother of Ray Dolby, who invented the Dolby Down system. French government astronaut, first woman and first British woman in space. There's a lot of here. Astronomer Jonathan Hare. Just all kinds of people. They're in alphabetical order here, all over the world. You never know who you're going to bump into with ham radio, do you?
No, John, and I've talked to a couple of them many years ago. When I first got started, it was all on Morse code, but I did talk to Ronnie Millsap, you know, country music guy Tennessee. I think he was in Nashville. Anyway, I remember talking to him, and I believe I have a QSL card from him as well. I have a lot of cards from over the years. And then one time, it wasn't on the radio, but I had a very rare and desirable telegraph key that I wanted to sell. I had it on eBay, and I mean, that thing had like 70 bids on it. It was going sky high, and the guy that won the thing sent me an email, and it was Joe Walsh from the Eagles. And Joe's a he's big time on the antique stuff. He's been a ham his whole life, and I remember him, spoke to him briefly, and then later on I sent him a message, and I said, if you ever want to sell that telegraph key back, I'm sorry I sold it. And he said two words, no way.
Right.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting, some of the names. You know, Elvis Presley's wife was a ham radio operator.
And Priscilla?
Oh, yeah.
Priscilla,
yeah.
Presley, really?
She should be on that list, yeah.
Well, here's a few others. Japanese prime minister, the king of Thailand, his daughter, princess, a former Italian president. It's an extensive list of here's the Queen of Jordan, the King of Jordan, Walter Cronkite. it's amazing the men and women
and General Curtis LeMay.
Where is Curtis LeMay when we need him? Oh, we could
use
him. Man, oh man, where's
John, General LeMay, of course, was with the Strategic Air Command, and because of him and Art Collins, who owned the Collins Radio Company in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, pioneers in the early days of radio, and Art Collins and his crew, they designed some of the finest radio equipment ever made. And to this day, it's still widely used, although they did sell the company. And I believe it's headquartered in Richardson, Texas. Now it was merged in with some other operations. But anyway, they made some of the finest ham equipment ever. And Art Collins and Curtis LeMay were personal friends, and they pioneered the use of single sideband technology. And because of General LeMay, they adapted a lot of their systems on the military aircraft to operate with single sideband transmissions, because it was far superior to the AM equipment that they were using. It really is. I'm surprised they don't use it on all civilian aircraft nowadays, because I think it would be better than the AM equipment they use. But anyway, that's the way it is. But it was a Collins radio company, and started when Art Collins was a very young man, and he got his start in ham radio as a kid. So, and thanks to General LeMay, single sideband became very, very popular starting in the mid-1950s.
Absolutely. Well, those men and women of that generation, they were strong, they were powerful, and the world is certainly much worse off without them, to say the least. We have other strong, powerful men waiting to step up to the plate, and the time is not too far off. Tom, last night, Tucker Carlson really went public with the easily provable fact that the COVID vaccination clot shots are killing people worldwide. I'm not sure what the audience is for Tucker. It's probably tens of millions of people. I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, what Tucker did last night, along with Dan Bongino, I think a week ago, who has another massive audience, says that taking the COVID clot shot was the worst mistake of his life. But Tucker was presenting documentation last night with a guest who spent a lot of time researching this. I believe the fire has been lit, and I also believe that the mainstream media is going to attempt to pin the clot shot on Donald Trump, forcing the FDA to approve something that never should have been approved. Unfortunately, there's documentation to go along with it. President Trump has a short period of time, a small window of opportunity, to let the world know that he also was duped and given bad information by people like Anthony Fauci. And if he doesn't go public with that very soon, he's done. He's done politically for the rest of his life. Tom, we got a caller on hold here. We got John in Tennessee. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John. Tom, I've got a question, Tom. I know Sirwin Vega in the late 40s were pioneers in transistor radios and amplifiers. I'm wondering why, if you have an opinion, Sirwin Vega never got into two-way radios.
I can't answer that, John. And you, but you bring up subject matter that I'm somewhat familiar with. I worked in professional sound in the 1970s, but the company I worked for was a distributor for Duquesne Corporation in the St. Louis area, and so that's about as far as I got with professional sound. So I'm not big on amplifiers. I know some of the names, and I worked on a lot of Duquesne equipment, big systems. I mean, 20 kilowatts, and not these 20 kilowatt amplifiers that these kids think they have in their car. That would kill them, that kind of power. But I mean, 20 kilowatts RMS power, Busch Stadium in St. Louis, not the new one, the old one they tore down. That was 20 kilowatts of audio power. St. Louis Airport, St. Louis Convention Center, they're very large systems. So I know about audio amplifiers, but I'm just not familiar with the one you mentioned. I wish I could help you.
Well, Sherwin Vega and
social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
The invasion continues. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. 4.9 million illegal aliens that we know of have entered the nation since Biden took office. 900,000 were gotaways, who were seen but not apprehended. 56 known terrorists were captured in the 4 million aliens that were processed. So using the same ratio of terrorists to aliens, there were probably 12 or more terrorists in the 900,000 gotaways. In reality, that ratio is probably higher because criminals and terrorists don't want to be caught. Fentanyl is now 2/3 of the overdose deaths in America. 1,200 people have been found dead on the U.S. side of the southern border. At least a dozen terrorists roam free in our country. Tell me again how an open border is the humane thing to do. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pashem Parabellum.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. This is how I protect my car, the cars of my daughter's family, with the same equipment, the exact same equipment the Department of Defense uses to protect vehicles against EMP, with a very nice $50 discount at my website at thelibertyman.com. And we have Tom Berryhill with us, and we got cut off by the break there. Are you still with us, John?
I am. Tom, the only reason that I asked the question, if I remember correctly, because in the 70s I was very interested in sound systems, like most 18-year-old kids were. But if I remember correctly, Sherwin Vega actually pioneered transistors in like 1946, 47. I'm wondering, and this is off topic possibly, but where in the world or how did it develop that they would go from tubes to transistors literally overnight? Someone would decide that they could put something that had taken up so much space and then transistorize it.
Well, here's your answer.
Where do you think the technology came from?
John, that's reverse engineered alien technology. I've got that from private sources, very high in that industry. Tom, if you got any follow up, you're welcome to.
Well, John, there you go. John, did I talk to you privately about some of the stuff I used to see with the work I did?
Oh yes, we've talked about.
Okay, well then, if I told you some of that, you understand. But I would say most every large military contractor has bits and pieces that were distributed to them by
bits
other...
Bits and pieces of what, Tom?
I don't know.
You do know. Tell me what you know.
Not publicly, but bits and pieces...
The statute of limitations. He may still be liable. He may still wind up in Leavenworth.
No,
You didn't sign the NDAs because nobody said you were told they were showing this stuff.
Well, anyway,
that's where I was going, Tom.
They got to play with. They had things they were given to experiment with and play with that you would never believe. But the old story is there's even a website online about Transistor Museum or something like that. And you know, when I was really young, one of the first transistors I started playing around with was a CK722. And it was a rectangular plastic-looking thing with a clear base. And I remember it had a red dot on the side, and that indicated either the collector or emitter lead. I don't remember. But that was an early germanium transistor. They started making those in the 50s. Of course, they said... Bell Labs created some of the first transistors. That's an interesting website. I've seen it before. Somebody pointed it out to me, and I looked at it. But things developed from there, went forward from there. But, I've never I've built a lot of things, but I've never made a transistor from scratch. A friend of mine did, and he also used to make his own vacuum tubes, which was really... unbelievable, but I saw the machine he made just to wind. I was at his house once, and here's this very strange looking apparatus sitting on his kitchen table, all kinds of gears and cams. And I said, "What the heck is that thing?" And he said, "Oh, that's a grid lay. That see that real fine wire that winds and makes the shape of the grid, which is one of the elements inside of a tube. It had to be specially wound, and he made that grid lay." And I didn't know he was making tubes. Then he showed me his, I believe it was a Litton glass lathe to make the glass envelopes for the tubes. That guy would know more about it than me.
And I would believe much of what you said, Tom, because of what I did when I was in the military. I was going there. I just wanted to hear someone else affirm it. You know, and
you got your affirmation there, John.
I appreciate both of you. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
John, there's a lot of things they don't like to talk about, and it's amazing, but there's a lot of questions that need to be answered.
Okay. Our next caller is my friend, Professor James McKinney. Good morning, Jim.
John, hi, good morning. I'm up a little early. I just wanted to mention here, you know, the student loan forgiveness thing that's going on right now, an aspect of this that I've not heard anybody talk about, and I just discovered this last night in talking to some people about this, that the families, a lot of families have signed on to these loans. So there's a lot of family members of students who, parents typically, who signed into these. So there's a lot of people indebted to these student loans. But the reason they picked $125,000 income or $250,000 if married, even though the spouse did not have a student loan, and a $20,000 cap on the amount of forgiveness, is because there's an immense group of professionals out there. They're doctors, you know, dentists, professionals who took out big loans.
Hold on, Jim. We'll wrap up your comments after the break. Stay tuned, everybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas.
The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape.
Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart, under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Exclusive content you find nowhere else on the internet. The latest intelligence briefing put together weekly by my friend, a former counterintelligence agent, Steve O'Neill's articles. Steve is a nuclear scientist. I'm proud to announce that I am now an affiliate dealer for Harvestrite freeze-dried equipment to your freeze-dried food at home. Right now, the summer sale is going on. And last but not least, of course, energy cleaners, my home business. When you place your order, I personally box it up. I take it to Little Country Post Office in Cherryville, Missouri, where tonight they have an all-you-can-eat catfish buffet for $12. I ship it out priority mail. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on energy cleaner to help you get your life back, get past your arthritis pain, get the greatest sleep you've had in decades. You can place your order for your energy cleaner, your mattress pad, at my website using PayPal. You can call my toll-free order line 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9543. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications and ham radio, and my friend Professor McCanny has a follow-up on this boondoggle to forgive student debt. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, before the break, I was just kind of giving the background to this. A lot of people may not know that student loans were stalled. In other words, during the COVID time, they did not have to pay their loan payment, but the interest kept accumulating. So over the last couple of years, they've accumulated a lot of interest debt. So anyway, the reason they picked the $125,000 income per applicant or $250,000 if married is because there is a vast group of people out there who are professionals. They're doctors, dentists, other professionals who have gotten these loans, and this interest has been accumulating, and they probably have upwards of a couple $100,000 in debt. So the $20,000 cap is meant. And now guess where all this money is going to? It's going directly to the banks to pay down interest. It's not paying a penny off of the loans because all of these people have been accumulating this much interest debt over the last few years. So it's simply going to the banks to pay interest. And so this is a $300 billion windfall to the banks that would not have gotten this otherwise. They would have to wait years for this interest to be paid. And it's just like the Obama bailout of the failed housing industry in 2010. The money went to the banks, who then foreclosed on millions of homes, and they got the bailout money and the houses to boot. This is another Democrat plan exactly like that. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, that this money. And the other thing is they're buying votes. So just imagine all the families and all the parents and all of the people who are out there and all of the people who did not qualify for this, who are hoping that someday their ship will come in on loan forgiveness or reduction. This is a way of buying votes from millions of people and an otherwise failed Democratic Party. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
Before I get away, we always hear about the 10 wonders of the world. Do you know what the 11th wonder of the world is?
No.
But compound interest.
Oh, yeah. That is it's illegal in the Old Testament. It was illegal. Usury was illegal. And the name used to be benefactor or beneficiary. Those were the biblical terms for giving loans, and they were forgiven every 7 years. The new terms are mortgage and amortization, which contain the word mort, which is Latin for death. So it says right in the terms death, and that's financial debt, because there's not enough money to pay the interest. So the economy has to collapse under the banking system of today. And so that's, of course, where everything is today. Now they just print money. But, and of course, Washington, D.C. is nothing but a money pit where people go to con and skim money off the system, because that's where the money is. And most of them have bank accounts in the Ukraine. So just a little, to bring us up to a little more up to date on where things are going. But anyway, I'll jump off of the.
Okay, Jim. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks again for the few minutes here.
You're welcome, sir. Well, Tom, we started out giving a very cursory, partial list of world people who are, you know, that are famous all over the planet that have become ham radio operators. These are all busy men and women with various expertise, various skill sets, some born into their situations, like the King of Thailand. Others have earned it through the efforts of hard work and diligence. It's a wide spectrum of men and women all over the planet who have acquired ham radio licenses, isn't it, Tom?
It is, John. And yeah, I got to make one comment on what Jim just told us. You know, I have a personal friend. He's 71 years old. He's a doctor. He's got a student loan that's still not paid, $300,000. Can you imagine that? That's a pretty nice house out in this neck of the woods.
That's two pretty nice houses in this neck of the woods.
I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Wow.
Amazing.
Anyway, you know, John, yes, there's some famous people that were ham operators, and we've mentioned a few names. If anybody looked at that list, I think they'd be quite surprised as to how many famous people are on there.
They took the time, they made the effort, they got their ham radio license. Our next caller is Glenn in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tom. John Deere is a well-known manufacturer of gas engine vehicles with wheels. I'm wondering if you can tell me why John Deere doesn't make passenger cars. My point being that asking someone else, a third party, why a second party chose not to manufacture something is utterly futile, because all that there could possibly be is speculation about the absence of motive. So, you know, McDonald's is a manufacturer of lots of carry-out food. Why doesn't McDonald's make pizza? All I can ever do is speculate about why somebody does not do something. But anyway, are you there?
Okay, Glenn. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, one other thing about the transistors and solid state and stuff like that. Once the NP, the big discovery there is the NP or PN junction. And once that was discovered, I mean, immediately you had single direction current flow. So you started out with a diode, and it wasn't much of a leap from there to doing the PNP or NPN transistors, which gave us the amplification, you know, the option for amplification, that stuff like that. I fail to see why any major discovery always has to be attributed to off-world influences or aliens. Why? What makes them so smart? I mean, if you ask a question about like that, how did they discover it? I mean, at some point, somebody had to discover this functionality of the PN junction. So, for some reason, you know, people, you know, one would say that humans can't discover things, and it always has to be some alien. Well, what makes them so special that they can discover something in nature?
Well, they've been at it centuries longer than we have, Glenn. That's the answer.
Well,
hey, Glenn, before we get off that subject, speaking of PN junctions and the wafers and things that transistors and diodes are made out of, here's something that will help everybody listening. We had some lightning around here last night, some big lightning hits. And anytime anybody listening, if you ever have lightning damage to your property, don't file an insurance claim immediately. Wait a while, because what happens is that very high voltage electrostatic discharge will actually pierce microscopic holes through the silicon wafer that those solid state devices are made of. It'll puncture little holes. Now, sometimes they'll actually heal themselves, but other times they get worse as time goes on. I would wait at least a month, maybe 6 weeks if you can wait that long, to file a claim. Many insurance adjusters want to take care of lightning damage immediately because they know that other solid-state equipment will start failing in a matter of weeks, and they want you to sign off, pay for what's immediately damaged, and sign off on that, then they're off the hook for the other stuff. I always wait, and that happened. When I had the place back in Fenton, Missouri, corner of the building, the gutter got hit by a direct. It melted the direct hit. It melted the guttering off the building, and it blew out one of the CNC controllers on a very expensive machine tool. And I cobbled together some stuff to keep it running, but I would not sign off on the on the claim. The adjuster was there the next day, and he wanted to get this going right away, and I held off, and sure enough, the whole CNC control cabinet started failing, and their servo drives, all kinds of stuff. So they ended up having to replace the entire cabinet. Instead of a $2,000 or $3,000 claim, it became about a $35,000 claim, and they took care of it.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's something to keep in mind. Don't sign off right away. Wait, if you can possibly wait, do it, because I guarantee you other things are going to start failing in the coming weeks after a direct hit like that.
Well, Tom, all you have to do is report that clip. That sounds like you just made your own EMP shield commercial.
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Glenn. A more comprehensive answer for Glenn. I have friends, very dear friends, friends that I attend their children's birthday parties, friends who attended my wife's memorial service, business partners, business associates involved in technology at the very highest level of research and development, at the very highest level, who have personally held alien technology in their hands and told me about it. This is within certain circles. This is not a secret, not a secret at all. And it looks like John from Tennessee is back for a second time. Go ahead, John.
Thank you, John. I was going to address that as well. Glenn, you're entitled to your opinion. I don't take that from you for one moment. But John and Tom and myself and others like us, I would never tell you anything about nursing. But those like John and Tom and myself that have an understanding are entitled to our understanding, and I believe really try to pass it along. And if you're open to it, it may be a help. You know, there's a biblical verse, I think it's in Proverbs, you ought to know this, he that answers a matter without knowing, it is a shame and a folly unto him. And I'll leave it at that, but there's things that some people know and others don't. And those that do try to share, and there's always resistance. I don't take it personal. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to understanding. You can never take that away from me or John or Tom. Thank you, John, for letting me get that out.
All right, we got it out. The call number is 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, if a person wants to get started with ham radio, first thing they do after going to the ARRL.org website is locate the closest ham radio club to where they live, find out when the meetings are, and start attending those meetings. That's a way to steepen the learning curve and also avoid making expensive mistakes, isn't it, sir?
It is, John. And the last comment, the expensive mistakes, they can be very expensive. And when you get around these men and women that already walked the walk, traveled that path, and set up stations, they learned what not to do. That's one of the most important skills you can develop, is learning what not to do and learning what to do when things go bad, you know, how to recover from different situations when you're setting up equipment and something is damaged or what have you. Learning those things, you'll learn a lot from these people, and that's the best part about getting involved with a ham radio club.
Absolutely it is. Well, I hope people will pay heed, that they will consider becoming a ham radio operator and join the thousands of men and women all over the planet who have become licensed ham radio operators, understand how the equipment works. We take technology for granted because cell phones have made things appear to be so simple to use that kindergartners can operate a cell phone. That's routine without any special training. Ham radio equipment is different. You have to have knowledge and education and training to properly work and successfully operate ham radio equipment, don't you, Tom?
That's very true, John. And, you know, you pick up that cell phone, and it just works everywhere, just about everywhere. And in these rural areas, there's some gaps in coverage. But for the most part, it works pretty good everywhere you go. But what people don't realize is the incredibly complex infrastructure that makes that work. Not just a tower with an antenna on it, but all the interconnecting, just the electronic equipment that makes it all happen, does all the switching and the signal handoff to the next tower as the vehicle is moving and phone is moving to another location. They have to calculate and figure all this out. They triangulate on the signal to know exactly where it is and which is the best tower to hand it off to when they, you know, they look at your signal strength. That's very complex. Well, some of that complexity happens with a ham radio system. When you set up your station, there's no infrastructure other than the signal that comes out of your antenna and radiates through the air or bounces off the ionosphere to a distant location, and then the other station you're talking to does the same thing back to you. There is no infrastructure other than what you've set up yourself and what the other station you're communicating with has set up. So there is some technical expertise that has to be learned, but it's not real difficult to get started. You start at a very elementary level and build your knowledge as you go. It's a hands-on learning experience for anybody that decides to get involved and join the hobby. So it's a lot of fun. Like, and older people, no age limits. But I think it's a great part of any homeschooling curriculum. It's too bad the public education, even private schools, don't put some of this into their curriculum. But the homeschoolers can do it very easily, and it's a great, great addition.
Well, let's talk about that a bit. We have, in our demographics at the John Moore Radio, we have many homeschoolers and grandparents of children who are being homeschooled. With ham radio, the children learn mathematics. They learn radio technology and radio theory, even more important. They learn this. If you get kits, and there's dozens of kits from entry level for 7-year-old children on up to kits that were teenagers are building their own computers, for example, to start the youngsters out with small kits to build small inexpensive radios on up to complete working computers. They learn the use of the various tools necessary, screwdrivers and pliers and wrenches, along with soldering equipment and clamps and all the different things necessary to properly and safely use a lot of different tools. Multiple skills that they start acquiring a toolkit that they can use as adults, can't they, Tom?
Yes, that's right. And I think a very important skill to be learned is soldering. You get into ham radio, you really should get some decent soldering equipment and learn how to use it. And that's a handy thing and a good skill to have because it can be applied to many different things. You can make artwork. You can do stained glass. You can do copper pipes for plumbing. It's all put together with soldering. So it's a valuable skill.
It is absolutely a valuable skill. And a way to get started is to go to the ARRL.org website, look up the nearest ham radio club. Another bonus of the ham radio clubs is that high-quality used ham equipment is bought and sold, traded back and forth between the members at discount prices, isn't it, Tom?
happens all the time. You go to the ham club meeting, you put the word out, you're looking to set up a certain type of equipment, or you're looking for equipment, and you tell them what you want to do, and somebody there, I guarantee it, somebody there has what you need. They've upgraded. They have something they no longer need. It works perfect, but they've gone another direction, and now you can purchase that piece of equipment from them, or they know somebody that has exactly what you want. You just put the word out in the community. I hope you hooked up with somebody to help you acquire the equipment you're looking for.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I've met dozens of interesting men and women over the years. I've had my ham radio license. When I was studying for my license the fall of 1994, I was doing an executive protection detail, working 60-plus hours a week, and I just kept a study guide with me. Whenever I had 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, I would study. And I took my ham license test, and I passed it. I've kept that license up. It's renewed, I believe, every 10 years. And it's a basic part of my life is understanding the ham radio theory, understanding the equipment, learning. Of course, I started installing radios with back in the 70s with CB. So installing a CB radio and a ham radio are basically essentially the same thing. How to properly do that and safely do it with making sure that there is a good quality fuse to prevent any disasters from taking place, learning how to filter out noise from the radio into the FM radio in the car. There's a lot to this, how to properly mount an antenna so that it's safe and secure, and just a lot to it. And it's all fun, and it's all a learning process, isn't it, Tom?
It is, John, and you're right about the filtering, the noise filtering. Some of these newer cars have so much electronics and switching and things going on in there that they're very noisy. And one of the noisiest cars I ever encountered as far as radiation or noise signals from the electronics was a Toyota hybrid. I can't think of the model, but it was Toyota. It was a hybrid car. It had a gas engine and the electric, and that was the noisiest thing. We used a spectrum analyzer with a little EMI, what they call an EMI probe, and we went along, and I was able to figure out where some of the noise was coming from, and we put filters in there to quiet it down. I did this with a friend of mine. He was having trouble. He put an HF, so it was AM. Well, single sideband is a form, it's amplitude modulated, so it's susceptible to noise like that. And he could hardly use that thing in the car. The noise level was so high. We got finished. It was quite low, almost non-existent. But it took quite a bit of work to identify where these noise problems were. But that car was noisy. And a lot of these newer cars are the same way. So you'll learn what to do and how to do these types of things. You get into ham radio. Now, you know, John, somebody could start a business just doing, fixing problems in buildings and vehicles that have noise problems. And that could be a business in itself.
It could. I was just looking at my friend Doug Hagman. He had an announcement on his website about the passing of Sharon Brower. And we are done. Tom, thank you.
Thanks, John.
Okay, top of the hour break. We'll be back with Dr. Scott Huff. Stay tuned.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.